And it's the same with the vaccine. If a messenger RNA vaccine is administered, it goes in, it does its work, and then it's degraded and gone. And so I think people that don't necessarily understand it sort of create this Frankenstein scenario that it's incorporated in the genome and becomes part of your DNA that's, you know, da-da-da-da-da. And that simply isn't true. I mean, biologically, it lasts for seconds or minutes, and then it's gone.
Welcome to the Swine Health Black Belt Podcast, the latest swine health research digested for you. We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible. Through innovative solutions, cutting-edge research, and world-class experts, Boehringer Ingelheim helps producers operate with complete confidence. Learn more at bi-animalhealth.com. Get your full value from start to finish with Elanco. Farm Health Guardian. Digital technology for better biosecurity.
Welcome to the Swine Health Black Belt Podcast, the latest swine health research digested for you. My name is Dr. Clayton Johnson. I'm the host of the podcast, and joining me on this week's episode is Dr. Mike Roof. Dr. Roof is the Chief Technology Officer for Vaccine Technology and Therapeutics at Iowa State University. Dr. Mike, thank you so much for joining us. I know you have worked in the industry for a couple of years now, but just in case there's somebody out there that hasn't met you, why don't you start with a little introduction?
Sure. Well, thanks, Clayton. It's a pleasure to be here. My name is Mike Roof. I'm a microbiologist by training, trained at Iowa State University at the vet school. Was lucky enough to develop some technology that was licensed and purchased by a small startup called Noble Labs back in the day. Some of your listeners may remember Noble. They were a swine vaccine company. And then Noble got gobbled up by Boehringer Ingelheim. And so I spent 25 years with Boehringer in different roles, scientist, project leader, group leader. And then the last 10 years, I was the global head of the vaccine R&D group, leading groups in China, Hanover, and in the U.S. sites. And although I worked across all species, my heart and passion was with the swine vaccine development. So many of those products I had my hands involved with.
A full value relationship starts with understanding your business, and Elanco knows growing the healthiest pig requires focus on every segment of production. Through continuous innovation, trusted solutions, and actionable insights, Elanco is invested in helping you achieve the full value of every decision. Their portfolio offers solutions that manage disease challenges, minimize variation, and mitigate mortality to optimize pig health. Get full value from start to finish with Elanco.
Mike, you're an expert in swine vaccines, and there has been an overall category of vaccine technology that has dominated the news for the last four-ish years, and that's mRNA vaccines. And admittedly, it is a new type of vaccines for commercial use. Maybe not a new type of vaccine from a research perspective, right? But pig veterinarians, pig producers, we've all had to answer maybe some questions about mRNA vaccines and, you know, what we use, what we don't use, right? Why we use them, why we don't use them. Why don't you kind of start and level set the audience a little bit with mRNA vaccine use in the swine industry today in the U.S., right? Like, do we use any mRNA vaccines? Are there other vaccines that we use that maybe sometimes get confused with mRNA vaccines? What's the situation today?
Sure. Yeah, it is confusing. You know, and I think we've all went through COVID. And so, you know, we've talked about vaccines and the media talks about vaccines. And so let me start with that. If COVID vaccines, when they say messenger RNA vaccines, what they mean is those are literally synthesized segments of RNA that's in a vial that we injected into our body, and then messenger RNA produces the protein. And so formerly, we don't really have any of those in the animal health industry today. Not that we couldn't or shouldn't, but we don't. But there are a variety of ways of which RNA can still be used to make vaccines. And first of all, every cell in the body, every living thing has RNA. Messenger RNA is a template for protein production. And so, you know, we're bathing in it as we speak. But, you know, I think where it gets confusing is when you define what is an RNA or messenger RNA vaccine. And so, again, these COVID vaccines, and I let me correct myself, not all COVID vaccines were messenger RNA. Some of them were adenovirus based. And so, you know, I don't want to make a blanket statement, but within the animal health industry, We do have products such as Sequivity for Merck that are based on alpha virus. And so in that case, we have a defective viral particle that infects pigs. It injects RNA, and that RNA makes a template. And so CVB has defined that as an RNA replicon. And so, you know, depending on how you define it, it functions as an RNA vaccine, but it's delivered through a defective virus particle. So you'd have to sort of be careful. Do we have RNA vaccines like the human COVID? Today, we don't. If we did, that wouldn't concern me at all, but we don't. And I know companies are working on stuff like that.
Why do you say, Mike, it wouldn't concern you? Because I think that's the reason why mRNA vaccines get brought up is right, wrong, or indifferent. There is part of the human population that is concerned about the safety with mRNA vaccines. Why do you say it wouldn't necessarily concern you if we had them available in our livestock species, and particularly swine?
Yeah. So, as I said, messenger RNA is the part of every living cell. And the reason that it doesn't concern me is that messenger RNA, by definition, is really unstable. And if in a normal cell, if messenger RNA wasn't degraded, your body would just produce protein to no limit and it would become toxic. And so biology and evolution has created a process where RNA is really unstable. And most messenger RNA is degraded within seconds or minutes in the body until a new copy is made if it's needed. And so, and it's the same with the vaccine. If a messenger RNA vaccine is administered, it goes in, it does its work, and then it's degraded and gone. And so I think people that don't necessarily understand it sort of create this Frankenstein scenario that it's incorporated in the genome and becomes part of your DNA that's, you know, da-da-da-da-da. And that simply isn't true. I mean, biologically, it lasts for seconds or minutes, and then it's gone. It does its job, and then it's gone. And so that's why it doesn't really concern me. Just biologically, it's really irrelevant.
Yeah, very good. Mike, we don't have time to go into a ton of detail here, but what sort of a pathogen might lend itself towards mRNA being a helpful vaccine platform in swine?
Yep. So in general, it sort of becomes an issue of size. You know, there's only so much that you can produce that remains stable. And so viruses are the natural and most easy target: COVID, influenza, Serco, things like that. Certainly, you know, FMD and ASF will have, that technology will be tried. The genomes of those viruses are huge, and so you'd have to really find small segments. And then again, there's a reason you don't hear a lot of bacterial targets being talked about with DNA RNA vaccines. The genomes are just too large, and they have too many different virulence mechanisms. So in general, the technology is mostly related to viruses.
Yeah. And I would imagine maybe viruses that we can't grow in a traditional cell culture would also be a pretty attractive opportunity. Something we can't grow and then kill to make the traditional whole viral prep killed vaccine.
Yeah, things you can't grow, things that are BL2, BL3 that you don't want to work with, things that are not allowed to grow, things that you don't want to put into a manufacturing site like parvo. So I think there's many times there's applications. And I would also say it's not a magic bullet. You know, it doesn't work for everything. And so veterinarians need the full toolbox. There's places for killed vaccines. There's places for modified live. There's places for, you know, GMO and molecular technology.
Yep. Well, and COVID has certainly created many health experts at many levels of our society. And it seems like there are lots of folks trying to regulate mRNA vaccines. You know, we see it with individual states that are trying to propose laws that would ban that specific vaccine technology. Do you think the pork industry or the collective barnyard groups that represent the livestock the livestock producers, do you think they should try to take some sort of a regulatory stance on vaccine technologies or specifically mRNA vaccine?
Yeah, I think if there's anything you take away from this podcast, that the answer is no. And here's why. Vaccine manufacturers and producers are regulated by the Center for veterinary biologics. And that institution is full of experts, microbiologists, virologists, veterinarians, epidemiologists. I mean, they are truly experts to assess the role of vaccines and their use. And some people think that they only talk about safety and efficacy in the host animal, the pig, and that's simply not true. The testing that's involved in vaccine development includes shedding, spreading, environmental persistence, other species other than the intended use, and even humans. And so these things are all considered before a vaccine comes to market. And in addition, you know, a GMO, a genetically modified technology, which would include mRNA, has to go through a process called the Federal Register, where it's publicly put forward and people are able to discuss and comment in, on concerns. And so those are the people that could and should regulate vaccines, and they do. And so having additional layers of regulatory oversight really just creates complexity for veterinarians to be compliant. Different states might have different laws and animal shipment and movement, and then simply cost and delays in new technology. And so I fully believe that the CVB is competent in this, that we should let them do their role. And ultimately, the decision of vaccine use should be in the hands of the veterinarian. Every situation is unique and different, and veterinarians should have every tool available in their box, and they should be the people that decide if we could or should use vaccine A, B, or C.
Salmonella presents significant challenges to pig health and performance and poses food safety risks to humans. As the first and only vaccine offering live attenuated strains of both Salmonella cholera suis and Typhimurium, Enterosol Salmonella TC from Boehringer Ingelheim protects pigs against both serotypes with a single oral dose. Talk to your Boehringer Ingelheim representative to learn more.
Mike, that's tremendous information. I think we need to get you a TikTok account and a huge Twitter following, and you could become one of these like medical experts that we see online.
I think I'll just join your podcast instead.
All right. Well, perfect. Well, in all honesty, Mike, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's tremendous information that I know a lot of us were shy to get into conversations with this stuff, especially with consumers, because we don't feel perfectly educated on how to tell them the truth about what we do. And I think you have shined a light in a black box for a lot of us that will be very helpful for those interactions. So thanks very much for being a part of the podcast.
Absolutely. Thanks for your time.
Thanks to our audience. You know, Mike, we could not do it without the people that tune in to the podcast every week. If you've not checked out our website, please go to swinehealthblackbelt.com and check it out. Please subscribe to the podcast. Please forward it to a friend. If you've got somebody that maybe you had a conversation with about mRNA vaccines and this can help shine a light in their black box, forward this thing to them so we get that message out there. For Dr. Mike Roof, I'm Dr. Clayton Johnson. Thanks for spending some time with us today, and please have a great rest of your day.